Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Truth Ministries. Happy Sunday to you. This is David Clark. I'm glad to be back with you again today. I hope you're all up ready, getting ready for church today, going to the house of God to worship. I'm glad you stopped in to be with us this morning, and I hope that you are receiving from the Word today. I'm looking forward to what we're going to be talking about. I got into a little bit of this last night at the prison, going to go a little different direction today. I want to talk to you about this prodigal son this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 15. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. I hope you had some time with your family and that you were able to celebrate the birth of Christ together. I had a wonderful Christmas, wonderful time with family. Looking forward to the new year and all that it's going to bring. I know that God's doing things that I can't even explain. He's opening doors. And so I'm just looking forward to all that. So I'm praying for you. You pray for me that God will just make 2020 the best year we've ever seen. All right. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 is where we're going to start. 15 and 11. We're going to read this short parable here and then talk about this for just a few minutes. Luke 15, 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, to make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." I want to stop reading there for just a little bit here. We're going to talk about this prodigal son. There's some things that stick out in this story that I want to go over with you, and I want to bring to your attention today. I'm talking to a very select group of people this morning. I know there's people of all different walks of life listening, people of all different persuasions. I have family that listen that do not go to church. I have friends that listen that do not go to church. I have people that watch that are church members. I have evangelists and preacher, pastor, friends, everyone, all different walks of life that tune in to the radio broadcast, and I appreciate every one of you. But this morning, I want to talk to a very select demographic of people, someone individual, perhaps, that you have found yourself away from God, or on your way away from God. You found yourself in a place where you maybe have made a mistake, or maybe you have not done things according to the Word of God, and now you feel like there is nowhere to go for you, that there's nothing left for you. I want to talk to you for just a little bit. I want to bring out some things in this story because God's laid you on my heart this morning. You listen to Brother David. So this son, this prodigal son, first of all, from a family of influence, goes to his father. And now I would imagine in his mind that he did not just one day wake up and say, today is the day I'm going to go ask daddy to give me my portion of the inheritance and I'm going to leave. I would imagine that this had to be a decision that the prodigal son faced over time, and he had to elaborate on it. Things like this don't just happen overnight. Maybe he was dissatisfied with the way that his life had been going. Maybe he had grown bored just carrying on with his daily activities. Maybe the life that he had been raised in, and maybe the way that he was raised, he no longer was satisfied with that. I don't know all of the things around this parable, but Jesus gave us this parable for a reason, because this relates to so many of us today. So the son goes to the father and asks his father to give him of his inheritance. Now, I would imagine that this money was not just readily available all through this son's life. I would imagine that this is money that his father had to work for. This was hard-earned money. Maybe it was passed down from generation to generation. Nevertheless, this was no small amount of money. It was significant. And to ask for that, in my humble opinion, would take a lot of nerve to just say, get up one day and say, you know what, I'm leaving. Give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. But the father, honoring his son, gave him his portion of the inheritance. Now, this son did what a lot of us would do. I believe this is why a lot of us aren't wealthy. And some people can manage a lot of money, and some people can't. Because you see people in Hollywood in different areas, different walks of life that inherit a lot of money or make a lot of money, and then you see them a little while down the road and it's totally destroyed their life. You hear stories of people that have won the lottery that came from a very bad poverty, and all of a sudden they've been introduced to all this money and they have no self-control and it ruins their life. They wind up, you know, in prison for drugs, or they wind up doing something crazy. But listen to me this morning. This young man, this son, he was given the portion of his inheritance. And the Bible is very clear that he went to a far country and he spent all of his money. He wasted all of his money on riotous living. He did not spend the money wisely. He made choices that were not in accordance with the word of God, or not in accordance to probably how his father raised him. And he found himself in a place that was far lower than he'd ever been before. I want to read a little bit of this to you again here so we can be on together on this. Not many days after the son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I want to talk about verse number 14 there, because nowhere in this plan did the prodigal son probably imagine that there was going to be a famine in the land that he was going to when he was spending all of this money. He was living it up. I would say he probably had all the fame. He probably had all the friends, all the fun that money can buy. Everybody wanted to be like him. Everybody wanted to be with him. And as soon as it was over, as soon as the party was over, the money ran out, the wine ran out, nobody was around anymore. They left him high and dry, and now there's a famine in the land, and he's facing harsh circumstances. It's the same way when someone walks away from God. It seems like a good plan to start with. It seems like a good idea in the beginning, but what we don't plan for is that we strike off on our own route by ourselves out there, thinking that we can have it better off not serving God. It was easier before I got saved. saved. I had it better whenever I didn't have the problems of the church. The devil wasn't fighting me like he is now. People in the church weren't talking about me like they are now. Everything was a little bit easier. I had a little more money in my pocket. I had a little bit more liberty to do things like I wanted to do. But they don't plan that when things go wrong on the outside, you're on your own. There is nobody to call on. There is no help. There is no deliverance. Who are you going to call whenever times get bad? You've walked away and neglected everything that you know. Now things are falling apart. You lay in your bed at night wondering, where is God? He's right where you left him, friends. He's back at the house. You broke his heart. And I understand that this is a positive message and a message of reconciliation, this prodigal son parable. I understand that. But a couple of things we must recognize this morning is that the prodigal son asked for this. This is what he asked for. He went to his father and requested his share of the inheritance. He made the decision to leave. He made the decision to live the loose way that he lived. He made the decision to spend all the money. He made the decision to live and participate in these activities. And when everything was said and done, the position he found himself in was of his own making, because he asked for this. Whenever we walk away from God, friend, we can't blame the church. We can't blame mama and daddy. We can't blame anybody but ourselves. We asked for this. We packed up and left. We moved away from God. There must be an accountability on the part of you and me to recognize that this is not God's fault. The way my life turned out is not God's fault. I made the decision to live vicariously. I made the decision to go against the word of God. I made the decision to be a transgressor. I made the decision to do my own thing, and now I must face the consequences of my actions. There had to be some form of accountability on the part of the prodigal son when he laid in that hog pen and he came to himself and he said, I had it a lot better at my daddy's house. I had it a lot better off before I left from there. But listen, go with me here in the scriptures. Go with me here when he came to himself. He said, 17, and he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Let's talk about this passage just for a moment. Now the father gave the son his inheritance. He gave him his portion of the family riches. The son decided to spend it to live riotously. The son decided to go to a far country. The son decided he was going to do his own thing. But all the while, he recognized that he left a good thing. He had it better off at daddy's house. Now here, he is in the hog pen, coming to his senses. But here's one thing that I want to bring to your attention this morning. This is how the devil works. This is the lie that he tells people. He comes to his senses, and the first thing he says is, number one, I need to go home. But number two, when I get there, I'll never be in the status that I was in. I'll never be considered my father's son again. I'll only be worthy to be a hired servant. I'll be less than a hired servant, but I'll at least be able to be in the house. Well, I want to tell you this morning that the devil operates the same exact way, telling folks that when they walk away from God or when they make a mistake, that they can never come back and be restored. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell this morning, because God is a God of restoration. Let me say it again for the people in the back. God is a God of restoration. He wants you to be restored today. God wants you to be reinstated. God wants you to be a part of the family. God is seeking that which was lost. He will leave the 99 and go after the one that left a fold just to bring you back. If he's got to break your legs to keep you from running away from this fold, he will do that. because it is God's intention to keep you in the fold today. But there are those of us who have wandered. There are those of us who have strayed. And I know lots of stories where people have come back and God's done mighty works in their life. I'm one of them. God is a God of restoration this morning. God is a God of the miraculous. And even though you may not feel worthy right now, even though you don't feel like God's got a plan for you right now, even though you may think that the Father's never going to accept you in your current state. Listen, friends, you can't try to clean the hog slop off of yourself and put some cologne on and get back to looking like you did before you go back to the Father's house. Just get up and go. He's waiting for you. The Bible says that this father saw his son afar off, and he went out and he greeted him and he kissed him on the neck. The Father is waiting this morning just for you to decide, I've got to get back to Daddy's house. There's not going to be any judgment once you get there. He's not going to cast you aside once you get there. The Father just wants you to come home. I said the Father just wants you to come home today. I know that sin has a price, and I know that we have to pay for things the rest of our life. The scars that sin leaves, we have to pay for those things. But there is forgiveness in the Father this morning. There is forgiveness in Jesus today. He's looking for you and waiting for you to come on back to the house this morning. You don't have to wallow in your current condition. You don't have to believe the lies of the enemy that there's not a place for you at the table, because listen to me, I believe in my, y'all go with me this morning in my imagination and humor me for a minute. I believe that the very day that son struck off from the Father's house, I believe he started telling his servants, y'all feed that calf a little bit extra. I want to get him good and fat. I want to make him good and tender. Y'all go ahead and just begin to massage that meat. Go ahead and be able, give him the best feed you can find. Go ahead and get that robe pressed. Go ahead and get it dyed the most royal color. Go ahead and polish that ring up. Get it all ready. Make preparations. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he be that way? Because, friends, the Father looked for the Son the whole time. I believe that in my imagination, I can picture that Father walking out to the driveway in the evening times and looking before the sun would go down, looking down that road to see if he could see the silhouette of that Son making his way back home. And maybe one day he didn't come back, so he'd go out the next day. He'd go by that calf and check and see, are you giving him enough feed? Is he going to be fat enough? We're going to have a good feast here after a while. We're going to have a celebration here before too long. Get everything just right. Get the party ready to start up, because one of these days, my son is coming home. One of these days, he's going to come down the road and we're going to be reunited. Friend, the Father is looking for you today. He's making preparations for you today. Even whenever you left, even whenever you fell, even whenever you spent all that you had, even when you squandered the gift he gave you, even whenever you made decisions that were contrary to his word, even when you trampled his blood, even whenever you mocked his name, even whenever you brought a reproach on your church, on your family, on the word of God, on the name of Christ, the Father is still looking and watching and waiting for you to come home. He just wants you back at the house today. The Father has made preparations for you to come home. This morning, I want to send a message to you in the hog pen. I want to send a message to you by way of radio, by way of Facebook, by way of internet. I want to remind you this morning that in your current situation, you have a Father in heaven that is waiting at the door with arms outstretched. He's got a feast prepared. He's got a place at the table. He's got a robe to put on you. He's got a mark of royalty to put put on you. He wants to reinstate you into the family of God. He wants to deliver you out of your current situation. He wants to clean you up today. You don't have to wallow in the hog slop. You don't have to stay there in that current filth. You can come out today. I said you can come out today. There is deliverance in Jesus. There won't even be one trace of the former life. Whenever God gets done with you, you may remember, but he won't remember, friends. He's going to cast that memory as far as the east is from the west, and he will not hold it against you. He's going to wipe the slate clean. He's got a plan for you this morning. You are still on the Father's mind today. He's calling, and he's looking for you. Even this morning, some folks are saying, Brother David, what I've done is too bad. He'll never take me back. That's a lie from the enemy, friend. The Bible says very clearly that he's married to the backslider. God loves to go and find the one that's wandered away from the fold. He wants to keep us together, friends. His love endures forever. His grace and his mercy is endless. He's never going to give up. That love's never going to stop. The Father's never going to stop pursuing you. In the middle of the night, you'll wake up sometimes and you can feel your heart drawn to the Father. You can remember what it felt like at the house. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning dealing with somebody's heart. The Father is pursuing you today. He's calling to you today. Can't you remember how he dealt with you? Can't you remember the love of the Father? Don't you remember what it felt like before you walked away? Don't you remember the comforts of home? Don't you remember how good the food was? Don't you remember how soft the robe was? Don't you remember being in good standing with the Father? And today he's looking out over the road for you. He's watching to see if you're going to come back. The only thing stopping you is in your own mind today. He's got a good plan for you. He's got a love for you that won't quit. The Father is waiting for you to come to your senses. You can wallow there in the hog pen. You can eat the leftovers from the swine. You can stay there and feel like that God's turned his back on you, friend. But God has never let you leave his sight. His eye is always on you. His eye is always upon his beloved. And you and I, friend, we are the beloved of God. We're his creation. He values us. He loves us. Listen, we don't deserve this kind of a love. We don't deserve this kind of an affection. We don't deserve him. I didn't do anything to merit him. I mocked his name, friend. I spat at his face, friend. I trampled the blood of Christ. I turned away and walked away from God. But in God's infinite mercy and wisdom, he came looking for me, friend. His eyes never left me. His love never left me. He pursued. He pursued. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I could feel the love of the Father. I could almost feel the heartbreak of the Father as he longed to be reunited with me. It was that drawing and that longing that caused me to run back to him. I remembered what it was like before I walked away. I want to speak directly to somebody this morning and tell you that in the name of Jesus, get up out of the hog pen and make your way back down the road to Daddy's house. He's waiting for you this morning. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's waiting for you this morning. There's not a reason right now. There's not a reason under heaven why you've got to spend one more day bound by hell. You don't have to spend one more day in the grasp of the enemy. He's lied to you, telling you that you're not worthy, telling you that God will never use you, telling you, looking at somebody today that the devil told the same thing to. He told me, David Clark, you'll never be used by God. You'll never be anointed again. You'll never feel the Holy Ghost again. You'll never be used in ministry again. But I want to tell you that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies today, because if God
God sets a purpose on you, if God puts a calling on your life, there ain't enough devils in hell that can come against his plan this morning. Get up and run to the Father. Get up and run to him. Let him fall on your neck and kiss you. Let him put a robe on you today. Let him slay that fatted calf. Let him start the celebration. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. This is the time, friend. Today is the day of your reunion with the Father. This is the moment. And I know there's going to be some that say, well, I know that he saved me, but there's just some that God won't save. They said it about me too, friend. There's people today that still think I don't deserve to be born again. But I want to tell you that God's not going to discriminate based on people's opinions of you. God's no respecter of persons. And when you get born again, when you become reconciled to God, you're going to be just as born again as anybody's ever been. There is no unlevel ground. At the foot of the cross, there's no second class saints. Everybody's equal at the foot of the cross this morning. That blood that covers our sin, it makes us white as snow. And when the Father looks at you, he's going to see the Son. He's going to see the blood of Christ. And that makes you righteous. It makes you holy. Listen to me this morning. I know some people are going to say, well, they did all this and they did that and they squandered this and they did said all kinds of things and lived a certain way. They'll never be born again. But listen to what he said here in 1 Corinthians. I got to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Friends, nobody's got a perfect story. Nobody's got a perfect past. Nobody's got a perfect outline. Nobody was born righteous. We were all sinners. We've all strayed. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to me. Nobody has ever been perfect from birth. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short. But the moral of the story is you've got to get up out of the hog pen, raise your hands up to heaven this morning and say, Father, forgive me. Father, take me back. Get me back to the place where I can sit at your table, where I can break the bread of life again. Get me back to the place where I'm restored, where I'm healed, where I'm delivered. Friends, I believe there's some chains that need to be broken. There's some minds that need to be healed. There's some hearts that need to be mended. But there's enough power in the blood of Jesus today that he can do all those things. It doesn't matter the hurt you experience in the hog pen. It doesn't matter the guilt that you feel. It doesn't matter the mental struggles. It doesn't matter what they said about you when you walked away. It doesn't matter who's holding a grudge against you. It doesn't matter if they marred your name, if they slandered you and lied on you. You get up and go to the Father's house this morning. He's waiting for you with open arms, and there ain't a devil in hell that can rob you of that love and joy and peace that he can put in your life. Friend, it's time for you to go back to the Father's house. The message this morning is one of hope and restoration. But you've got to recognize it was your own mistake that got you there, but you don't have to stay. I said you don't have to stay that way. The Father is looking for you this morning. He's waiting. If we could see through eyes of the Spirit and recognize the look on the Father's face as he hopefully stares over the horizon looking for somebody to come back home to him, one of those wayward sons or daughters to come on back. Friends, he loves you more than you recognize, more than you realize this morning. The Father loves you. I want to leave you with this. I got less than a minute to go. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. You can call on him in the middle of the midnight hour. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. Just come on back home to the Father. If you don't have a church, Bethel Holiness Church is a good place to start. Woodcrest Road, 5032 Woodcrest Road, Jacksonville. If not, find you a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church and go this morning. Raise your hands and say, Father, here I am. I come back to the table today. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you again next week. I hope you have a happy new year. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.